Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of Ben and Woods, and as we're going to do
still
it,
an hour, huh? Good God.
1 hour. Well, technically like 50,
full hour.
55 minutes or so.
Jeez.
Annie Nelson coming up at 10 o'clock, but as we're going to do at 9 o'clock for the next couple of weeks, it is time to announce another name in today's biggest fan contest. Today's biggest fan is Wyatt Driscoll from El Cajon. Wyatt, give us a call back in the next 10 minutes at 833-288-0973, and you will qualify for our grand prize, 20 tickets for you and your friends for a night in our Odyssey suite at a Padres game later this season. Wyatt Driscoll, remember, register your name at 973thefansd.com/biggestfan so you can hear me say your name like I just said Wyatt's name. Good luck, Wyatt.
Good luck, Wyatt.
And if you know Wyatt,
let him know.
Reach out to him, let him know.
Or if your name is in the hopper and you don't want the competition, don't let him know.
Yes, true.
It's totally up to you.
That's
one way or the other.
You could be one of the 20 people he selects.
It's probably a better strategy.
Yeah. You get five guys together, we'll all listen. You know,
if you win and you got reminded by someone to call, I would think they'd have to be high on the list of potential invites.
Imagine not getting... I told you to
call the fan. You didn't invite me? You didn't even invite me? I had 20 invites? I didn't get one of them?
Funny thing is, I can't imagine rounding up 19 people to bring with me. I don't have 19.
Yeah,
people.
I'd have trouble. I would have trouble too. Getting to 19 as well.
I would too.
Woods, you want to invite some people? Paul,
yeah,
you want to invite
some people? Everyone bring five. figure it out. It's terrible, man. Terrible. But hey, look, it's Cadillac problems. That's a good problem to have.
All right, so yeah, you watched No Sports. Paul, you watched comedy special.
Yeah,
I watched Lakers, Duke, Clippers. Lead 'em, the Dominican Winter League final. And I watched TGL week 4 of it was Tiger Woods.
I watched a little at dinner.
Jupiter Links golf against Boston Common, which was Rory McIlroy's 3-person squad. And for the first time, it's actually a good, entertaining match.
The first time I missed it, you know, being able to sit down and watch really any of it. I saw some on the TV.
The first 3 weeks were like terrible blowouts. Not close. Not a lot of drama. This time, it was actually a pretty decent match between the two sides. It was back and forth. It was close. Tom Kim was kind of the big star on Tiger's team. Was making some of the big shots. Tiger though had to make a putt on a. They had thrown the hammer, which is what doubles the hole, and Tiger had to make the putt, and it just barely snuck in. They would have been down one.
Instead, Tiger's team won?
Tiger's team. So it ended up, going to a sudden death, like a tiebreaker. They do a chip-off, like a closest to the pin, best of three chip-off, and Tiger's team ended up winning the chip-off and taking their first victory. But it also featured the first ever shot clock violation. And wouldn't you know, the person who got the shot clock violation...
Tiger Woods.
...was Tiger Woods. Wow. Yeah, he was lining up a putt to tie the hole, about a 12-footer. To tie one of the holes, and he's sitting, and it's like 10, and he's like looking at it, and he's lining it up, and he gets over, and it's 6, and he's just kind of standing there, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and before he takes his putter back, he's, and Tiger actually loses the hole, because he didn't get the shot off in time. And this is something that was actually discussed a lot this weekend at Torrey Pines. Pace of play on the PGA Tour.
It's absurd. The round was 5 hours and 49 minutes or something.
5.5 to 6 hours long.
That's unacceptable.
It's not good entertainment. I don't think it's good for the competitors. It's not good for people who are going out there and watching the
golf.
In
your longest round should be 4 hours.
I mean, they're playing threesomes. They're good golfers. It's not like... You know, they're making a bunch of triple bogeys and having to search for their balls. They have people who find the ball immediately.
So how can four dunces like us, you're not included, you're like a five, but how can me, Paulie, a couple other guys go out, have to look for our balls, hit three balls off the tee, six putt, and we get around it in 4 hours? It's absurd.
It really is a problem. And there's talk. I mean, there is a rule on the PGA Tour. You're supposed to hit it within 40 seconds once you get to your ball.
It's not enforced.
They
enforce everything else in golf. Literally.
Right.
Oh, your wedge grazed the sand. We're going to bang you for two shots. But the one thing that everybody wants to be enforced, they don't enforce.
Now, I was watching early in the final round, and it wasn't all on the final group taking forever. Like, they were standing on the third tee for a good 10-15 minutes.
That's
while
insane.
Like, Joel Damon was down in the canyon trying to hit his shot. And I get sometimes there's shots that require a little extra time. He had to climb down there. His caddy wouldn't even go down there with him and figure out how to actually play a shot from like the ice plant down in the canyon. Okay, you're going to have those things that slow down a golf round, but there's really no reason. And I understand that you've got different factors. You got to figure out your lie, the wind, you know, your club and everything. And you make one mistake and all of a sudden it could cost you hundreds of thousands of dollars. You pick the wrong club, a 7 instead of a 6, and now you're in the hazard instead of on the green. Two shots, three shots, that could be the difference between $500,000 at the end of the day. So guys want to make sure that they've got everything right before they pull the trigger, but becoming too long.
I'm sure pitchers would like an extra 30 seconds to regroup after they give up a bomb or hit a guy or walk a guy. I'm sure that a quarterback would love an extra 15 seconds to get the play going. It's very enforced. How about a basketball player searching for the right shot? Like, it's enforced in every other sport. There's no reason it shouldn't be enforced in golf. You want to talk about the sport that has the biggest pace of play problem? It's golf. I mean, it is excruciatingly long sometimes, and it's awful for the players, too. Standing around for 15 minutes on a tee box is insanity.
But watching TGL, and I get, they're not walking between the shots, and, you know, they're not, the conditions don't change. They're inside. But they can play quickly if they have to.
Yeah.
You can see that it is absolutely possible for a professional golfer to just walk up and just hit the shot.
Yeah.
It's right there. You've done it a million times. It's not that different from every other shot you've ever played.
Chris says the real problem is you guys are bombing it further than ever. They're waiting for greens to clear on holes they weren't before. Yeah, they're going for 5s and 2 and 4s and 1. So I get that part. But, you know.
But if you took less time on the greens, you know, not spending so much time reading every grain of grass with your caddy, those greens would be clear faster. Things would be going faster. And I get it. I'm a fast player.
I'm a fast player, too.
When I play golf. And
I want to get it over with.
You know. Sometimes I worry that I actually go too fast. And I should take a little bit more
You're not playing for PGA Tour money. So you should absolutely be fast.
I should be fast. Yeah, as should everybody. Yeah. You know, even on the PGA Tour level.
Correct.
Just play quickly. It's better in every sport.
It is.
Wait, is there ever a sport that we thought,
I need this thing to drag out.
I love this, but I just wish it was slower and dragged out a little bit
I wish
longer.
It dragged out more. I'd like this to drag on for another hour.
You know, baseball's tried to fix it. College basketball has a huge problem now with the video reviews, and let's stop the clock again and go to the scorers table, and let's see, did it really go off of someone's fingertip? That drives me crazy. You want to see Ben get a little passionate?
A little tizzy?
When a guy is dribbling a basketball, and a guy reaches in behind and like knocks it out of their hand, and it goes out of bounds.
Yes. Who was it off of?
In the history of basketball, it's always been off the guy who knocked it out of bounds. But now, in the last 2 minutes of these games, you've got the referees have to go to the scorers table. Because what if the guy knocked it out of his hands, but then it rolled off his pinky on the way out of bounds? And technically it last went out off of the guy who was dribbling. But the spirit of the rule, to me, is the guy who knocked it out of bounds is the one. I mean, that's who it went off of. Just keep it with the offensive team's ball. We don't need to stop the game for 9 minutes to determine, did it actually roll off his index finger after it was tipped out of bounds from the guy who knocked it out?
Now, yeah, it's a fine line, though, because, you know, you want accuracy. I want accuracy, especially in baseball. That's the sport I care most about. I want accuracy, but I also want the game to be 2 hours and 20 minutes, right? Max, 2:30. Perfect. That's great for me. But I also want it to be accurate. So you do have, it's a fine line of trying to make sure everything's accurate and also keeping the game moving. So I understand that part.
Yes, but I mean, in baseball, the oversliding at second base.
It's terrible.
Calls.
Yeah.
You know, the
one finger comes
or
off.
Or not even the overslide. Like, okay, if you really
comes up.
If you really overslide the base
you're
and
out.
They tag you,
yeah.
You're out if the umpire can see it. But the ones where you're sliding over the base and maybe for 1 millisecond, you know, your butt bounced, you know, just a fraction off. In the old days before replay, it's safe. You got there early, you got there first, you slid on the base, you were there, you're safe. But now we got to go through, all right, challenge, and we got to look at it for 3 minutes to see if, did his, you know, his bounce up a fraction of an inch off the base for a second? I don't think that's the spirit of what we were looking for in the rule.
Agreed.
Did he get there first or did he not? Did the throw beat him? Did he get the tag down or not? Fine, yes.
Exactly.
But we're parsing things that never needed to be parsed in these sports before, in basketball and baseball, and it's really bogging down the sports. Now, I don't think replay is a bad thing. I think replay can correct some really egregious mistakes, and I wouldn't want to go back to a pre-replay era. I don't want the, you know, a perfect game ruined on an umpire's horrific call at first base like we had in Major League Baseball, Jim Joyce, you know, a decade ago, whenever that is.
Yep.
But we've kind of gone sometimes a little bit too far in what we review.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And it's tough. You want to keep the thing moving, but you also want to be accurate. So not an easy task. But with PGA, it's, guys, you got to speed up. That's it. It's pretty simple. Speed up, we're going to enforce the 40.
Would you be in favor? And I think, you know, people would scream, you know, conspiracies. If you just in every game had one official who had a monitor in front of them, and if they saw something that they thought needed to be corrected, they would immediately
just yell it out.
Here it is, we're doing it.
Eye in the sky.
There's no challenges. There's nothing. There's an eye in the sky who's just watching for things that they think, that was a mistake. You know, umpires make mistakes. Basketball officials make mistakes. I just saw what looked like an egregious mistake. Stop. I'm going to look at it quickly for 30 seconds, and I'm going to change it if it needs to be changed. Otherwise, you just keep playing on in every sport until someone hits a button and goes, give me 10 seconds to look at this one again. I think we may have made a big mistake. If it looks like it's really close, it's not worth checking, just keep playing. Just keep it going. But just have someone. The question would be the accountability. Who's that guy? When are they deciding to make that call and not make that call? I think people would kind of go crazy about it.
I love the eye in the sky bit and have for years. I think the eye in the sky could help so many different sports. But with golf, it's really an easier fix.
Just enforce.
Hit the ball.
Yeah.
Hit the ball. Yeah. And let them use rangefinders. Yeah. Why not? Oh, everybody
absolutely.
Else does.
Yeah.
Let them use them.
Yeah.
You don't even be pacing off your friggin' yardage in the year 2025.
That's ridiculous.
There's one, two, what do you got? For it's a 137.
From the corner of the bunker.
139 to fly it.
Seven.
Give me the thing and tell me. All right, I have 141.
With
great.
Slope. Fine.
With slope, great.
I don't
fine.
Care.
Who cares?
I really don't care.
Play the game. Play it.
All right. Let me tell you about SDFatLoss.com. Great program. We've been telling you about it for about a year and a half now, and that's because in the summer of 2023, I looked at myself in the mirror, was not happy with what I saw, and decided, all right, I need to do something. I had done other programs, though, and while I had lost some weight, I didn't like the shakes and the bars and the mixes. They said, with SDFatLoss.com, you don't have to do any of that. It's just real food. I said, okay, I can try that, and it worked. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days, and you can expect about the same, 10 to 20% of your body weight in 60 days, up to a pound of fat per day, eating things like steak and chicken and vegetables, just the right times and the right portions. They'll tell you all about it when you set up your free consultation at SDFatLoss.com. And right now, when you do it before January 31st, you're going to get $200 off as well. So no reason not to go set it up and get started. A new you in a new year without any injections or drugs. Yes, you see the ads for the injections. Are you ready to take those the rest of your life? Like every single week, go and get a shot? Because if you stop, there's nothing sustainable about those programs. This is sustainable. I have changed everything. I feel so much better. Chris Ello did. Scraby did. So many tier ones. I mean, we've lost hundreds of pounds out there in San Diego. I feel like I'm part of this accomplishment and share it with everybody out there. Now I'm just looking to take the next step this year and get more of you involved with SDFatLoss.com. So sign up today. Get $200 off and schedule your free consultation at SDFatLoss.com. That's SDFatLoss.com. As I mentioned, a little earlier, Star Tech tonight against San Jose State at Viejas Arena, originally scheduled for 8 o'clock. Now I believe 7:40 is when the game is scheduled to tip off. FS1 on television. San Diego State is favored by
15. Is
15. San Jose State is not that bad. They just beat New Mexico. Now, that was at San Jose State. But they just beat. It's the only loss New Mexico has suffered in conference play. So you can't just assume that this is an easy win.
And Aztecs beat Air Force by 19?
Air Force beat
Air
by
Force.
One. They beat one. Nevada by 19.
Yeah.
Now, Nevada's a better team, and they won on the road by 19. Makes this one a very difficult game to handicap. I will say that.
Staying away.
The Spartans have won 3 of their last 4. They played the Aztecs close twice last season. Different teams, obviously, but 81-78 in San Jose, 72-64 at Viejas. But the last time San Jose State won in San Diego, 1997. The Aztecs, I think, have won, 13 straight or something like that against San Jose State. I mean, they should win this game. It would be fairly disastrous if they didn't win this game. San Jose State.
The cover is in question.
171, but the cover of 15, I just have no idea. 15-point win is fine. So is a 14. So is a 16.
Yeah.
I just don't really have any clue as to how this one will play out. Hopefully, it's not one where you're stressing in the last 5 minutes, though. That would be my wish for tonight's game.
They're just a hard team to handicap, the San Diego State Aztecs. They are. They're a hard team to look at and say, oh, yeah, no problem. I mean, it you don't know really what team is going to show up. You know, you have an inkling they're probably going to start slowly and finish strong like they did in the last game. So I don't know, man. I'd probably stay away from that one if you're a gambling person.
That's fair advice.
Yeah.
Now, I would love to see Magoon Gwath build on what he did last
100%.
Week.
Was named the breakout game.
Mountain West Freshman of the Week yesterday after, I think he had 20, double-double, 15, 13, yep. Double-double. And he averaged 24 points and 20 rebounds in 2 games last week. 2 wins on the road. He received the honor. The Aztecs have also had Taj DeGorville get it twice and Farrell Compton get it twice. So, I mean, you look at the future of San Diego State. If they can keep those guys together for a year or two,
right,
bodes very well for the Aztecs having that much talent on the freshman level that's already contributing to the team this season. But I think for Gwath, he just needs to keep building on the momentum. DeGorville's played pretty well. Compton has not been playing as well lately. I feel like for whatever reason, Mark Ziegler wrote about it. These are the dog days of the college basketball season. They have dog days of baseball are like August when you've been, traveling for months and it's just like wearing down, but the finish line isn't exactly ahead. This is when it is for college basketball. You hit the conference season. You got two games a week, a lot of travel. Right. School gets back, so you got to start going back to classes, practices, buses,
altitude.
And but you know, March Madness is still a month and a half away. So this is kind of that time, and you saw the Aztecs go through it like last week.
Yeah,
they had a bad week. Now, did they get over it, and have they pushed through against Nevada and have turned a corner? I guess we'll find out a little more tonight whether they've turned a corner or the Nevada game was just a nice night for San Diego State, where they took advantage of a team that wasn't shooting very well and hasn't been playing that well lately. So we'll find out tonight against San Jose State.
Paulie, in the Rondo Report, are you doing the MLB The Show cover?
No,
is that one of your stories?
It
just dropped late. It's the best video game out there, in my opinion. I mean, I love baseball, so I'm a little bit biased to that. But every year they do kind of a big launch for the cover. And as I understand it now, there's three players going to be on the cover. You saw a couple guys putting out videos yesterday. Ellie De La Cruz, Gunnar Henderson from the Orioles, and Paul Skeens is going to be one of the cover athletes of MLB.
I love Paul Skeens.
MLB The Show 25.
They're going younger.
Yeah.
But didn't invite Jackson Merrill.
No Dodgers either, which I find is very, very weird. I mean, you could have just slapped Shohei on there and called it a day, but
has he been on the cover?
I don't know. I don't remember the
covers. I don't really play that.
You don't like MLB The Show?
I just don't play it.
Oh God, I love it. I can lose myself for a weekend.
I don't remember a lot of the past covers.
Well, the way I play MLB The Show is I play it like Andrew Friedman does. I turn off salary restrictions. I put it on easy mode, and I just sign and trade for everybody I want.
Is that satisfying?
Oh yeah, I'm pretty satisfied when I build a super team.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. Are you kidding? Are Dodger fans satisfied right now, or do they want it to be more difficult?
Don't you feel like the
no,
enjoyment
I
is in the challenge?
No, I like to trade for the guy. I don't turn the salary off. I force trade on.
Do you like create super players?
No,
like,
no,
stuff
no,
like that.
No. I keep it within the real players. I mean, like Ben Higgins, the brilliant catcher for the
huge
Padres.
Power, right. Huge average, huge speed, like 99,
correct,
in everything. So now, can you play? I haven't played video games in a while, and I really haven't played MLB The Show. Is there like a degree of difficulty, like an easy?
Oh yeah,
medium. Hard?
I put it on easy.
You put it on easy too. So are you going like 162-0? What kind of?
Well, I'll simulate a bunch of like I'll win the first one, and I get to the matchups. I don't play the Rockies. I'll just sim those, and you know it's a Padres
so
the 1-2.
Lose on those.
Yeah.
When you actually play, do you ever lose?
No.
No, you never lose.
No.
Then what's the point? You know you're going to win.
Why do you,
before you even start?
Because I like beating the crap out of it. What are hits and home runs and great plays too exciting for you? Is that not? I mean.
No, I mean
it's a video game.
It's designed like when you get started, you play easy.
Yeah.
As you're getting used to it and getting used to the controls, and you have a chance, you win some and lose some, and then you master the easy level, and then you bump it up.
Well, I haven't played.
So you
I don't
get
play
more
that
of a
much.
Challenge.
I don't play that much, so typically when I do play, I keep it on easy mode so I can rake. Baseball's hard enough.
Yeah, but doesn't it feel more like baseball? If occasionally you strike out. Occasionally,
not really. I ground out plenty. You swing early, Randy roll over down to third. Just like real life, man. It's not, you don't get a hit every time. But it's
kind of sounds like you almost do.
It's no, you don't.
Right.
You don't. It's such a good. It's
what
such
are they, like,
a fun.
Are you have like realistic final scores? I always wanted.
Zach says beginner, rookie, veteran, all star, Hall of Fame, and legend. Ben wants to have a 4-17 rough stretch.
Me too.
Don't we hit enough of those patches?
But then you overcome it. You're like, all right, we got through our rough patch, and now we're cooking here, and we're trying to fight our way into the playoffs.
Yeah, the simulating helps with that. You'll drop like four in a row. You're like, hey, easy. You turn it off.
I mean, what are your final scores? Are they realistic? You play like 4-3 games, or is it always like 28-23?
It's not always blowout.
Okay.
It's not always blowout. You still got to get the hits and you know, come through at the right time. But the real part for me is building the dynasty. That's the fun part. And you force the trade. Like, I'd really like Gunnar Henderson to be my starting shortstop.
And the other team says no, and then you just
force
override it.
Yes, it's a blast. Yeah. You can do...
AJ Preller wishes he had that. Yeah, of course. Calls other GMs. No. Well
I'm sorry.
I'm overriding your chip.
Damn
here.
It. You really just gave me Joey Lucchese and you got Gunnar Henderson back? Damn it.
Yeah. It actually lets you live some of the trades you see on Twitter during the trade deadline. You know, hey, what if we packaged Brett Sullivan, Tyler Wade, and so-and-so? Could we possibly get... You know, Blake Snell and Yamamoto from the Dodgers. I mean, you see these, and people are serious. They don't quite get the value, but you could actually do that trade in MLB The Show.
Teach his own.
Yeah, teach his own.
Pauly, what do we have coming up in the Rindle Report?
Rindle Report. We got a couple of different choices here. There was some TV deal news in baseball.
Some TV deal
yesterday.
Talk. Yeah.
We kind of tease it as a potential don't do this. What's going on in the NBA with the latest with Jimmy Butler?
Sad.
That story just continues to get worse. Yeah, a lot to choose from.
All right, that's coming up. First, though, Woods, you're going to tell us about Underdog.
Oh, I'd love to tell you about Underdog. If you're a California sports fan, good news for you. Underdog is now available to play right here in our state of California. Underdog, the best place to cash in on all your takes during the playoffs, which players are going off, which ones are ice cold. With over 5 million happy players, $2 billion won, Underdog makes it fun and easy to cash in on all your favorite athletes' performances. You've got the big game right around the corner. I know that everyone's going to be looking at, you know, higher or lower for Patrick Mahomes, for Jalen Hurts, for Saquon Barkley. It's going to be so. Make sure, listen, the best app on the big game is the one right on your phone, and it's Underdog. So I've been having a blast with it. I know a lot of the tier ones are as well. Thank you for signing up and using the promo code Woods. I really appreciate it. Let's keep it rolling now. Every dog deserves a second chance. With Underdog Rescues, you can even get your money back, receive a promo if an early injury causes your entry to lose. So just one of the many benefits of Underdog. So the best place to play Pick'em is Underdog. Download the app, sign up with the promo code Woods, deposit now, get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. Use promo code Woods. Must be 18 and over, present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms do apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
All right, final segment of Ben and Woods on a Tuesday morning. Annie and Elston coming up at the top of the hour. Gwen and Chris this afternoon. At 2 o'clock, a quick reminder, you can download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.3 The Fan on the app for your chance to win the ultimate trip in the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. All you have to do, download the Odyssey app, log in, and listen to this station for at least 1 hour to earn your daily entry into this national contest. The grand prize is travel and accommodations for a winner and three guests to Las Vegas, plus $5,000 each. That's $20,000 total to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the College Basketball Championship Tournament. All right, if you had $20,000 for a trip to Vegas.
Yes.
Would it all go toward gambling? What would you...
No, I don't even...
Spread it around a little bit?
I get nervous gambling in Vegas. I do. I can't sit at a blackjack table for very long. A, I have... debilitating ADHD. And so to even sit there for 15 minutes is rough sometimes.
Right.
I'm not good at playing craps. I don't play baccarat. I like roulette a little bit, but it's kind of like might as well just light your money on fire. 20,000 Vegas, I mean, I would keep like, I could, $5,000 would be the most I think I could stand to lose.
Yeah.
I'd eat really
Yeah, they have
well.
Good restaurants,
yeah,
obviously.
I don't like... I mean, I go to a concert. I'm going to two concerts in March in
Spa
Vegas.
Day?
Ooh.
Spa Day.
Spa Day would
spa
be
Spa Day, really nice restaurants, a baller room.
You would spend... If you had $5,000 in penny slots, you could stay there for 72 hours straight and not leave. You just sit there pressing the button. Paulie's like, I would turn my $5,000 into $75,000 playing penny slots. Dude always wins.
Play $5 spins.
$5 spins, yeah, 100%.
That kind of money.
I don't know. Like, even if I had money, I still don't think I could stomach.
I think about it like when Ben likes to go play in like poker tournaments.
Yes. Oh, he loves
And I'm
the
like,
poker
at least
tournament.
In Vegas, like, if you really want to play in like one of those big poker tournaments, you got to bring a lot of scratch to start, and I'm like, how long are we talking here? Because I feel like those go on for
yeah,
hours.
They can
and
they can
hours.
Well, I feel like they're you know what you're getting in for. If the entry fee is $100 or $150, you know, all right, that's the most I can lose.
That's fair. It's not a
and then I can get a lot of play out of it. Now, if I really wanted to win, do I want to sit there for 5.5 hours?
Absolutely not.
Not necessarily. But then again, when you get deep into one, and I did last time I was in Vegas, it actually gets pretty exciting at that point. Because then you're thinking, oh, wait, I might actually take down a big prize here. You start focusing in. So I do enjoy the poker tournaments.
I feel like the amount of gambling one would have to do to go through that much money. I don't know. I know it goes quicker than that. But, yeah, I don't have it in me, really, to spend $20,000 gambling. So, no, I would not spend $20,000 gambling. No chance.
All right, let's check traffic one more time, and then we'll get to some headlines with Paulie in our Rindle Report.
And get things started here with our edition, today's edition of the Rindle Report.
Now tuned into the greatest.
Welcome to the Rindle Report with Paul Rindle.
Hi, Paul.
All right.
Two stories from the world of sports that we haven't gotten to yet.
We'll start off in Major League Baseball.
And one story that you didn't know you needed.
Are you laughing, biatch?
It's the Rindle Report.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
On 97.3 The Fan.
Are you ready to bless the mood? I need some help, please.
That was good.
Can I get a
All right. Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. We will start off in Major League Baseball. I saw some news yesterday, Rangers, that at first made me go, well, what the hell? And then now I'm not quite sure what to make out of all of it. Maybe it's a little bit ado about nothing.
Much ado about nothing.
So the Rangers have announced yesterday their new network to produce all of their game broadcasts. They had their deal with Bally Sports run out at the end of last season, and here we are, what, 3 months later, and they've got their own network, the Rangers Sports Network. They have partnered with a new company that's going to produce and distribute all their games. I believe I saw it's $100 a month. You get or $100 for the season.
Oh, I was going
to
say, woo,
not a month,
pricey.
For the season, and that gives you access to the whole year, all the games.
Okay.
Across a variety of platforms, et cetera, et cetera. And I was trying to, there's not a whole lot of details right now that are out on the Rangers network. A lot of information is still to come. So I go, well, why have the Padres taken them over 2 years now, almost, to get a TV deal? And then I go, well, how similar is Rangers Sports Network to just what Padres TV is, I guess.
Padres.tv. Essentially, they're just...
I guess, is it because MLB is producing all of the Padres games right now?
I guess so. I mean, they're dressing it up with a business and probably hiring some people to help run it on a local level. The Padres could do that. You know, you'd have to hire, like, production teams and, you know, salespeople to sell more advertising, which they may need to do at some point. I don't know that that's going to be a huge moneymaker for the Padres, though, and I don't know how the Rangers are going to do here. They're taking a risk, obviously, taking all of this in-house because they now have to pay massive production costs and salaries for different people to make this work. But I would imagine, you know, long-term, they think that it's a smart move. But it's not like someone's stroking them a check for $100 million a year.
Right, like,
you know,
the old days.
They're stroking themselves the checks.
Whoa, God bless, jeez.
To pay all of the salaries and production costs.
As they... Yeah. Interesting phrasing there.
As usual. The devious, devious mind. Tim says Rangers are going to lose money on it. Yeah, I think you do for a while.
At least initially, yeah.
Like, you get all the profit, though, because you're
eventually,
running it?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, after you overcome all your startup costs and everything, you hopefully eventually make a profit. That's the idea. Will it happen in reality? I guess we'll find out.
It's wild because I've told you guys this before. I grew up there, and the fever. And I know they just won a World Series
the year before.
I still don't get the sense that the Rangers are even in the top three of Dallas-Fort Worth sports. And that's having grown up there and then talking to we have a bunch of tier ones that live there. Our buddy Chris Chadwick, Josh Gorrell, I mean,
their broadcast territory, according to ESPN, spans over five states and has more than 16 million households.
Okay, that's
in
pretty
their
good.
Region.
That's pretty good. Now, how many of those will they get? It's negligible, I think.
$100
a year. It's just based on the appetite for Texas Rangers baseball. But, you know, hey, listen, you brought Skip Schumacher in. That's going to help. I'll get you four or five houses right there. Okay?
I don't know that they're. I just don't know that the world of broadcasting is going to support the old school, hey, we pay $50 million, $100 million, whatever, a year for broadcast rights for a market. It works in L.A. and New York, maybe a couple of other places, but a lot of these sports companies, obviously Diamond Sports, they weren't doing well. That's why they went under. You know, the cost of broadcasting the games, they weren't making it up. And that makes it hard for other, you know, TV stations to want to go in and start doing the same thing.
Start stroking checks.
Exactly.
Right? But isn't
Stroganoff.
I hope you pulled what he just said, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Mark it down. I've lost my train of thought. No, it wasn't the plan for all these teams that got kind of hosed in the Bally's thing. Wasn't the plan eventually for MLB to come up with one big happy family and take over and start disseminating funds and things like that?
Yes, but that's going to take a few years because, you know, a lot of teams have longer term contracts with their TV providers. They can't simply unilaterally just end those deals that are, you know, to the end of the decade. And they're going to have to wait a little bit.
Now, Nathan says, now that is five times the market size of the Padres for context. It is. But I think per capita, there's more interest in Padres baseball here than there is in Texas Rangers.
Well, I don't think there's any doubt baseball. To that. Right. But, you know, part of it's that you're the only game in town, essentially, in San Diego on a major league level, whereas Dallas has all kinds of options,
100%.
You know, and you know, you can only watch so much sports, you can only go to so many games,
yeah.
And they make their choice, and they choose the Cowboys and the Mavs and the Stars and then the Rangers.
Yeah,
interesting. We will move on. We'll see how that develops. Yeah, good luck to them, and we'll see what happens there. All right, we'll move over to the NBA, and this is kind of a two-parter. The first part, not that important. But the dunk contest participants for next month's All-Star festivities was announced. Mac McClung from the Orlando Magic. The only interest there is that he's a very short person who won the last two. He's going for a three-peat, which has never happened before in the NBA. And he's going up against Stephon Castle, Matas, I'm not going to try to say his name, and Andre Jackson Jr. And I started thinking about that,
I've never heard of any of those guys.
I'm a basketball
McClung
fan.
McClung won it, didn't he?
He just won the last two.
So won the last
going
two in
for
a row?
Three-peat now.
All right, so I've heard of him. But
so I guess that'd be the only interest. And I started thinking about it, I go, my God, that is just, to sound like an old-timer, like, that's not the dunk contest that I grew up watching in the 90s and the 2000s, where you had Vince Carter and guys like that just doing some of the most insane. Now, look, I see the highlights now. I don't watch the Saturday night NBA festivities, the All-Star festivities. You'll see the 10-second clip on Instagram or something, and that was pretty cool dunk. I can't sit down and watch it. And then after I saw that announcement yesterday, a couple hours later, as I'm scrolling Instagram, I saw some throwback reel to the 1992 NBA All-Star festivities.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember this at all? They had a celebrity dunk contest, and I started thinking, it's been, what, 20, almost 30, or 33 years?
Yeah.
Maybe they need to bring that back, and that could save the NBA All-Star festivities.
Well, so
in 1992, you had Michael Irvin, Ken Griffey Jr., Barry Bonds, Chris Carter, Deion Sanders. Those are just some of the top athletes that participated in, they called it, Slam Fest 1992. And I started thinking, okay, is there any interest, possibly, in top athletes
in other
sports?
Fernando Tatis Jr.
That's exactly who I was going to bring. Lamar Jackson.
Would the Padres even let him, like, potentially risk injury by participating in a slam dunk contest, though?
I wouldn't. I fear you're going to get the celebrities of the, like, all right, here's Jack Harlow. Here's Jelly Roll.
With, like, trampolines? I mean,
I don't know. I'm just saying.
If I want to see a slam dunk contest, I want to see people actually jumping.
Here's an idea.
Dunking the ball.
This
I mean,
is,
these,
this
these
is
guys
novel.
Are pretty good.
This is novel. How about the really good stars of the NBA participate in the slam dunk contest like they used to across the board from the 80s on till recently this new trend of like no
one
will do
it. It's not even that new anymore. It's probably been the last 20 plus years. It's been the rising stars. You have to be in your first 3 years or something bizarre like that.
Vince Carter was so good at the dunk contest. Michael Jordan was elite.
Jason Richardson had some insane dunks.
I mean, I showed Bo recently Spud Webb, and mine was blown because he's such a little bub. Those were Donnie,
cool.
Dominique Wilkins.
I mean, Mac
incredible.
McClung's a good story. The problem is he's not really an NBA player. In four seasons, he's played in, like,
he came out of the G League.
Six games, you know. It's like,
he came like fresh. I think the first year he won the dunk contest, he
Dominique.
Was a G Leaguer.
Oh, God, they were so good back in the day, so good.
But they're still really great.
Like, yeah, they're really talented.
I would love to see Ja Morant in a dunk contest.
Yes, 100%.
You know what I mean, guys like that. But
why wouldn't LeBron just do it in his last, you know, in the last hurrah? I think it'd be such a great move. Such a great move.
It's fallen off so.
He's never
hard
done it
over the last 15 years.
He's never done it.
Yeah.
Never ever did it one time. You have to do it once, I think.
I wonder if it's an in-season thing. They're like, I don't want to even risk falling on an ankle or something.
I guess.
I don't know.
No. Mac McClung looking for the three-peat. When is that? This weekend?
A couple weeks from now. It's mid to late February.
February, yeah.
All right. And then finally, I thought this was interesting. Let's say it's date night and you want to go out to a movie, right? You buy your tickets online or at the box office. Let's say it's an 8 o'clock start time. You get there 7:45. You got to get your popcorn, your candy, your drinks, right? The movie does not start at 8 o'clock, though. We all know that,
right?
You've got ads
about 8:30,
concession stand ads, then the previews.
It's not that long, but it's I feel like it's around,
I'd say,
15
like 8, 20,
to 20 minutes,
30, 20
minutes. I really don't know exactly how long it
forever.
Is
I mean, think about it. I haven't been to a movie theater in God knows how long, but I do remember, like, by the time the ads and everything ended and the movie actually started, you're already halfway done with your popcorn and everything.
Yeah.
Time to go for a bathroom break, get more concessions. So a senator in the state of Connecticut, he thinks that this is a terrible waste of people's time, and he's introducing a bill that would make movie theaters list the actual start time of the movie.
He's doing a bill for this.
So if it says 8 o'clock, the movie's starting, or it was 8:25 p.m. is when the actual movie starts.
All right. I mean, this is like a consumer protection type bill. I think this is actually something that's worthwhile for a legislator to attack.
Now, here's
make,
the other
make
side.
Make people's lives better by giving them information.
I agree. I would
it's
absolutely
similar to
take
like
advantage
the new laws where they're saying, hey, I want to know exactly what I'm paying for a flight. If it says it's a $99 flight, I don't want to pay $142.
Hidden
or if
fees,
it's a,
yeah.
A hotel room, $139 a night. But after the resort taxes and fees and everything, we're actually paying $207. The movie says it starts at 7:30, it starts at 7:30. If it starts at 7:42, it starts at 7:42. I also want to know when the previews start, though, because I want to be in the seat for the previews.
Yeah, I like the previews.
I like the previews.
So the other side of it is there's a theater owner in Stamford, Connecticut, and he said that time's already hard enough for movie theaters, and they rely on all of those ads and trailers and previews and all that as a significant part of their income. And
sure,
if people just go, oh, I don't have to show up for another 20 minutes and skip through all of that,
who's going to advertise?
But we already know we don't have to.
Right.
We just don't know exactly how long we have to
get there.
Maybe
we meet in the middle. Like, if you want to pay an extra fee or something, then it'll unlock the actual start time for the movie.
I don't know about that.
I feel like it's a colossal waste of time.
I think movie theaters in general are a colossal waste of time.
Some people like them.
That's my opinion. I'd rather pay. I've paid for, like, movies. You can get them on Apple TV or something. Like, in theaters, you pay, like, $25.
$30.
But you...
You've never had
it. Cheaper than going to the theater, and you get to watch from your own home.
Yeah.
Pause
very
whenever
little,
you need
I can't
to.
Wait 6 months, a year, year and a half.
I'm with you.
We know.
I'm with you.
We wait. Patience. Speaking of patience, I know some of you have been waiting for us to tackle the new story that just dropped. We'll just hand that over to Annie Austin. give you a quick rundown. I've been trying to just read it. Another story in the UT from Kevin Acey. The Seidler
There's like one a day now.
The Seidler brothers responding. Obviously, you know, they had the story yesterday about Shields, the interview, and her side of it. They've They've dropped some information in a lawsuit response, essentially saying that this is not Peter's wishes. Peter was very clear about his wishes. It wasn't for Sheila to run the team. He had plenty of chances to say if he wanted her to run the team. Had seven times he could have said it. He says he does want his kids to run the team when they reach the age 40. They have the right to become co-trustees of the team when they get to age 40. The kids, yeah.
But 40.
That's like 29 years away for the oldest one.
Wow.
But nowhere, they say, did he ever indicate that Shiel should be running the team. That's just the latest.
Do we have actual sources this time? Because yesterday
this is a lawsuit.
Infuriated me with all the unnamed people. This isn't
a story. This is just a legal document. But this is obviously coming from the brothers.
This is
going to keep going back and forth. They're going to keep going back and forth. If there's any new developments, we'll let Annie and Elston handle it.
We'll hit it in the morning too,
and we'll talk tomorrow.
Show plan.
Yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. for Paulie and Woods. I'm Ben. Have a great rest of your Tuesday. From all of us at 97.3 The Fan.